Good morning. Everybody's still rambling around and running around. So, what's up with that? So today, we're going to be focusing on my message is going to focus on 2 Chronicles 7:14. And then I got another scripture in that very same chapter. Plus, there's others, but this is our focus today. So we're living in a world that is on the brink of upheaval. And our world leaders are searching for answers. And there are some powerful people who would like nothing better than to bring in the one world order. So many are seeking solutions for the complex problems that we face today. So our opening prayer this morning, I'm going to pray Psalm 143. I would like you to just, close your eyes and just pray it, silently. It's a prayer that David prayed for deliverance and guidance. And so that was the reason I chose it. I just felt like in this day, we need to be standing more on the word of God. So let's pray. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with your servants. For in your sight, no man living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk. For to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your loving kindness, put off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Amen. So we can become overwhelmed as we watch the news. There's so many half-truths, so many lies. What is the truth is now considered a lie. Good is called evil, and evil is called good. Epidemics, the murder of the unborn, as well as the trafficking of children, high prices, rumors of war, and immorality seem to be leading our nation as many fear what will happen next. If we have moved away from God and let fear of man control us, what is the answer? What is God's divine prescription for the remedy of international as well as personal needs? So we're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I feel that God's prescription begins with God's people. And this verse to me gives us the remedy. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So chapter 7 also brings us great hope. You know, it starts out with the dedication of the temple, and it gives a promised revival. You know what? No matter how we can look at the world in the natural, the Lord is still in control. He still holds the world in his hands, and we can have revival. You know, we're kind of small this morning, but it doesn't matter. Because where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of us. So anyway, verse 1 in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I don't know about you, but I long for the glory of God, because we can't do it without him. You know, we might have a plan, but unless it's based on God's plan, it is worthless. So we want God's glory, his power to fill this temple, our body as well as our churches, right? So we can see that it must begin with the church. Our lives are to be characterized by humility, prayer, seeking God's face, and repentance. This will bring God's attention to our cry, forgiveness of sin, and it'll bring health to our land. You know, that's what the Lord is promising. You know, so we don't have to be afraid. We're going to be looking at Psalm 27. And so what's the answer? We must have confidence in God's abiding love. And I feel like this Psalm 27 gives us that very confidence in his love. And I feel like we could also title this psalm as No Fear. Seems to be a popular thing today. You see even dish towels with those words on, No Fear. So verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then in verses 13 and 14, it tells us what we need to do. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So what is it telling us to do? We're supposed to have reliance or confidence to see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. You know, sometimes we're always focusing on the land of death or what's happening, you know, in that realm. But his goodness is in the land of the living. And number 2, we need to wait on the Lord. And so we're supposed to seek his will and prayer and then act on it. So he tells us to take heart. You know, don't be afraid. Just have confidence in me, he says. So throughout the history of the world, many times Christians interceded with God in behalf of their country and its leaders, and God heard and answered their prayers. We're going to look at, let me see here if I can find it. What's my next scripture going to be? Is that it's Psalm 127, verse 1. So in the summer of 1776, the founding fathers of the United States, they were having difficulty in completing their plans to form the 13 colonies into a nation. Although many plans were suggested, none seemed right. So in the midst of the debate, Benjamin Franklin was asked his opinion. He rose and gave a brief but powerful talk based on Psalm 127, verse 1. And it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain." Then he said, "Gentlemen, everything we have tried so far has failed. Why don't we try prayer?" They paused for a time of prayer, and from then on, they had a spirit of unity that prevailed. 187 years later, 13 years short of 200 years when the 13 colonies became a nation, another famous person, on November 22, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. And these words were in the speech he was going to deliver, and I quote, "We in this country, in this generation, are by destiny rather than choice, the watchmen on the walls of world freedom. We ask, therefore, that we may be worthy of our power and responsibility, that we may exercise our strength with wisdom and restraint, and that we may achieve in our time and for all time the ancient vision of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That must always be our goal. For as was written long ago, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watches in vain." So the same scripture Benjamin Franklin had used almost 200 years later was the scripture chosen by President John F. Kennedy. Is this not remarkable that it was going to be part of his speech on the day he was assassinated? Was the Lord reminding us that we need to turn back to him? It seems to me that it was a wake-up call for America. With the beginning of the establishment of the 13 colonies, our founding fathers were seeking God in prayer. Is the Lord telling us to do the same? You know, I would never have picked this up if it wouldn't have been for the Holy Spirit guiding me as I was looking to see what I wanted to say today. And when I saw that both were 13, and it was on his day, you know, that he would be assassinated, that Kennedy would use the same thing, it caused me to weep. You know, prayer has changed the course of history in the past, and it can do the same today. Our greatest weapon against Satan is prayer. What a privilege to bring to him the needs of our world, our communities, our churches, as well as our own personal needs. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus became compassionately angry when the focus of temple activity moved away from focusing on a right relationship with God. He overturned tables and he evicted people who were treating the temple as something other than a house of prayer. Throughout history, God himself has helped his people refocus when they have gotten off track. And today, he still reminds us to walk with him. Something that I really treasure, I have the Founder's Bible. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but if you haven't got it, it is a little spendy, but it's very much worthwhile. And it has much history of our nation that we're not taught anymore today. And so the following remarks are from the Founder's Bible, which reminds us that America is a Bible nation. And quote, "The biblical model was repeated hundreds of times in early America. In fact, on 8 separate occasions during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress called the nation to a time of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And founding fathers who became state governors likewise called their own state to times of prayer and fasting, including signers of the Declaration, Matthew Thornton, Samuel Adams, John Hancock, Samuel Huntington, Caesar Rodney, signers of the Constitution, John Dickinson, John Landon, John Taylor Gilman, William Livingston, as well as others. This pattern repeated so often before, during, and after the revolution was also under the Constitution by U.S. presidents. Don't let anyone lie to you and tell you that we are not founded under the Lord God Almighty, and that everything that our founding fathers have done was according to what the Word of God says." The following proclamation made by President Abraham Lincoln even today fits with our nation, which seems to be again on the brink of civil war. You know, I just felt this fit with 2 Chronicles 7:14 so much. And just with our message, I was just surprised I was able to locate that and put it in this message. So think of our country as I read what Abraham Lincoln said at the time of the bloody Civil War. And he called the nation to a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, explaining in most profound terms, and I quote, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon an overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scripture and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. And in so much as we know that by his divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which is now desolates the country, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in deceitfulness of our hearts that all of these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings no less than the pardon of our national sins and restoration of our high and on high and answered with blessings. No less than the pardon of our national sins and restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. Doesn't that sound like it fits pretty close with today? We can say this as Abraham Lincoln said this over a nation that was divided. All we need to do is humble ourselves and pray and seek God, and he will answer. America has a long history of following the biblical precedent of observing times of corporate prayer and fasting. But this is a spiritual discipline that every Christian would do well to personally develop. It allows us to spend time in concentrated prayer in our relationship with the Lord. We must rely on Jesus, looking to him and seeking his will in prayer before we act. We must give him the first opportunity. Pursue him. He has the answers. Trouble will tell you who your first what your first priority is in your own life. So wait patiently for him. Depend on him. Walk before him. Trust God. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 64, and it's just a selection of verses in there, verses 1, 4, 6, and 9. And I would like us to say this together as a prayer for our nation. Oh, that you rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. All of us become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. Amen. Don, did you have a song for closing? Okay.